Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and in this very special series of podcasts, I interview the most interesting and the most passionate people in bodybuilding and fitness. And I do this for a reason. There's so many people out there, experts out there, people who want to be experts, claim to be experts. Maybe they are experts. Maybe some really aren't that much of an expert, but they're always throwing this information at you, how to train correctly, how to eat correctly, that their way is the only way. It's causing, you know, so much confusion and so much overwhelm out there. In this podcast series, I bring you the most interesting and passionate people in bodybuilding and fitness so you can get to know them up close and personal. You can learn about their mindset, the way they look at the world. So you can see that they could probably take any training routine or any diet and somehow eventually find a way to work because of that champion mindset. So that's what I want to bring out. I'm very excited to bring you a very special guest that I know you're going to learn so much about her. Definitely one of the most interesting people who I find in the bodybuilding and fitness world. That's why I got Pauline Norden from you. One thing, though, is it is undeniable. Pauline is one of the most passionate people in bodybuilding fitness. There is no doubt about that. I knew it from the very moment I first met her back 11 years ago. As a matter of fact, she reminded me of Arnold. You know, we all have heard the stories of Arnold, how he came into this country just ready to take it over. And that just ambition, that drive just oozed out of every pore of his body. It was undeniable that success would be eventually his. And that is how Pauline just struck me. Just so determined. And she's been going. These last 11 years, she's going. Worldwide following. She is the creator of what I call the Fighter Diet franchise, the Fighter Diet Empire. It's with the Fighter Diet ebooks, the YouTube channels, the Fighter Diet nutritional supplement line. She's really gone for it, really made it a brand name. As a matter of fact, it's funny. I ran into somebody and, she didn't really know who I was, but she did some name dropping. It was an up-and-coming physique star, fitness star. She did really well. She didn't know who I was, but she had to name drop her connection with, "Do you know Pauline Norden?" You know, right? So massive, massive worldwide followers. And it's because of her passion she draws people to them. So I'm very proud to welcome Pauline Norden. How are you today, Pauline?
I'm very good, Skip. How are you?
I am awesome. So glad that you're here to share your story. Let's talk. Let's get right into your story. You came here from Sweden. You came to America. What were you thinking back then? What was the plan way back then?
Well, it actually started when I was 5 years old. I was a lonely child, and I was always reading these books, and I saw a big book with the most beautiful places in the world you have to go to.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle, there was this skyline over Los Angeles, where it was actually the picture of like a smog-filled purple sky, which is like showing that there's a lot of fumes and like, what do you say, not contamination, but
smog.
You know, smog, yes. Uh-huh. But I just felt like I'm gonna go to that place. And that was like my number one goal. And then later, when I turned 12, I was doing a rebel towards my stepdad who tried to control me. And so, of course, like most women or girls, we try to take advantage, like take charge of our bodies because that's the only thing we can be in control of. So for some reason, I decided to start dieting. I was never overweight. I was just normal. I was athletic. I started with horses when I was very young and had a lot of strength and muscle. But I discovered this in some kind of magazine about calories and how you should count and so on. And it turned out that I was really good at this discipline. So I was out jogging. I was doing 500 sit-ups a day. I did pull-ups and all that at the same time as I was just not eating. So I was starving myself for 5 years, between 12 and 17. I moved away from home when I was 15 to study at a certain, like a special school for like very smart people. I don't know how I got in there. But I did that because my ambition was that I could keep on not eating without, like, in uninterrupted. And that was like my motivation. So I went to this special school where I was studying like on a high level, and my motivation to get in there was so I could keep on not eating and like uninterrupted. But the thing is that I started to lose control. I was getting these cravings for food. I was like weighing 88 pounds, so I was like, you know, very skinny.
And how tall are you, Pauline?
5'2".
Okay.
So but my body shape is supposed to be a lot bigger, so it was like, you know, like very skinny. And it started to really worry me because I was scared that one day I'm going to go and eat all this food I'm not supposed to eat, and I'm going to like sabotage everything. And at the same time, I was 17, and I walked into a magazine store and was strolling around, checked out the magazines, and I found this fitness cover with a muscular woman and a man on it. I think it was Muscle and Fitness. And I got so intrigued, like, what is this? Like, all these muscles, it felt like I was looking at a porn magazine, like, you know, almost like taking it away because it felt like so almost like dangerous. But I went back there next day, bought the magazine, and that's when I figured out that, okay, it takes a lot of discipline and consistency and patience to build a world like a really good physique. And that appealed to me because I needed some kind of structure and control in order to change my destructive behavior into a constructive. And after I was reading that, I figured out I had to go and actually work out. And I went to the first gym ever, and I told the guy, okay, I want to build muscle. I have 3 years, and then I'm going to be on stage. And he said, okay. So he showed me how to train like one or two sessions. And I never even checked form or, you know, high rep first to learn the movement. I was like, how can I go heavy 6 reps at a time, like at all of a sudden? He says, yeah, sure, you can do that. So I got like really strong fast, and my body was like, now I started to eat and also train. Imagine a body has been starved for years. I was like popping muscle like crazy. So I was like very stoked. And so 3 years later, I'm on stage, and I competed in the nationals. I won the level for juniors, and I was like runner-up on the seniors like 3 years in a row. And that's when I made up my mind that if I can get a pro card, then I can get to America. So that dream was still there. It's not that easy now. Like, you know, a pro card is one thing from a green card, but I went there. I was working as a journalist, so I got like a work visa for that, and I came over here, had all my modeling, my internet, my photos and everything like that in a resume, and I got granted a green card in record time. It was 3 months from application to I got it, and the lawyer said, like, wow, that's like, it never happens like that.
And that was because of, I know you've just had such a professional presentation.
In Sweden, yes, right. The Biggest Loser. I was the Biggest Loser coach in Sweden.
Right, so that was back in 2006, 2005, okay.
Or 2006, no, 2005, yes.
Right, okay.
And so I landed on American ground March 31st, 2006.
Okay, all right, you know the date.
I know, for some reason, I have all the dates and stuff, I always remember like that.
So tell me about the Biggest Loser. That sounded like your big break. That was the Nordic version of the Biggest Loser, and you led Team Sweden to the victory. Tell me, how did you get that break? How were you selected for that? And tell me about that experience.
I was actually typecasted for this because they were looking for someone who was like the Swedish version of Jillian Michaels. Tough, very fierce, like very military. And they got me in and they told me, okay, you have to, like, here's the casting. We want to see how you do it. And I just improvised. I got all the producers down on the ground to do push-ups and sit-ups. And I just, like, completely just, you know, like tore them apart in like, uh-huh. 5 minutes, and the producer just said, "You're the one." So that's how I got in. Uh-huh. And it wasn't like they told me that I'm gonna be stuck in the middle of nowhere in Estonia on a castle for 3 months. And I was just crying and just like, oh, I don't want to do this. Like, I was so angry that I got this gig, but I knew that this is going to be one life opportunity and I have to do it. But I mean, seriously, that was like the craziest thing I've ever done. It's almost like a feeling like you're going to have these people lose weight no matter what. So you're running around almost with a gun, you know, pointed to their face just because they have to keep on losing weight.
Right.
And in Sweden, we can actually do that. On TV, I was actually telling this guy that, you know, like, that I just want to shoot you in your head. Something like that. Here, I would have been sued. But, I mean, it just showed it was completely, you know, the producers, they think that one hour's exercise a day and a little diet would have them drop 10 pounds a week. That would happen. They were doing, like, 8 hours of intense training plus dieting, and but that's how I first got my fighter diet to work with other people. So I got it on the big fat people, and they had really good success. But I was the only one who actually had heavy weight training in my program. The other ones didn't, and I won my protege.
Awesome. And what did that do for you? I like the story about in those moments of darkness when you have to really suck it up. What are you doing? Is this going to work out? What am I doing here? That turned out to be such a big break. So that was the defining moment. That's what got you your green card here in the United States in record time, your appearance on The Biggest Loser.
That was a big part, but also I had been on the cover of Iron Man magazine. Okay. I had been in spreads with Oxygen magazine. I had something in a lot of magazines, also in Sweden, in my writings, and I got into an interview, and they all really checked. But I think actually it was my pictures that someone really liked fit women that day, and I got approved.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of fit women. There's a lot of beautiful fit women, and you definitely fit that category. But there's no denying the fact that you are a marketing machine. If there's anybody who can let the world know about your talents and is bold about it, it's you. So tell me, where did this marketing come from and this drive to get yourself known? Tell me about that.
That's a very good question. The fire, they say, like, you know, like, what's driving me? Well, I've always been like I had a job in Sweden where I was doing, I was selling supplements. So I was standing, talking to customers like 8 hours a day. And before, it was like about a year, I had panic attacks every day before those jobs. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stand there. I was miserable, very fragile. And I thought that I have to get out of this because I can only do really well what I like to do because I suck at anything else. Uh-huh. So it was like pure instinct to survive that I just knew that I have to be the best at what I do so I can make a living or I will be depressed and commit suicide. So I'm like very, you know, like I can just be all or nothing. That's my strength and my weakness, I guess. So, now I think it's just, I guess I have some kind of message that I like to inspire people. I mean, it's sad to see how people are so out of shape and unhealthy and they eat the wrong food and they don't understand that they don't have to be hungry and feel like crap and maybe find how enjoyable exercise can be. And, you know, I'm coming from having been a couch potato. I mean, of course, I was training like a crazy when I was starving myself. But there was a year when, before I found bodybuilding, when I looked down at everyone who was doing sports. Like, in my class, they had these basketball players, and we had gymnastics. I was just like, what's wrong with them? Why do they work out? I mean, I didn't understand that at all. Uh-huh. So everyone can change. So, I mean, my big goal is to be part of the DFAT America movement, which I call it. Right. And I just want to get this. In my mind, America is the strongest, the fittest, the healthiest nation in the whole world, and we should be like that. So I'm a big supporter of the military, for instance, because for me, it's like military is supposed to be the best, the fittest, the ones that are like go all the way, and I like that mindset. So I just want to inspire, and maybe some people's life can be a little better by actually getting into fitness instead of unhealthiness.
Awesome. All right. Well, Pauline, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to know more about your future plans, this big vision that I know you have. Also, I want to talk about some of the things that you talk about eating strategies, people starving themselves. I know that you talked about you really want to step into people's lives and have them realize they don't have to do that. I want to know where that comes from and some of the things that you're doing. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
This bodybuilding and fitness podcast is brought to you by Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplements and sports nutrition products on the market. Supreme. Clean. Mass Machine Nutrition. Check out the entire line at www.massmachinenutrition.com. Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition is also available at the world's number one online supplement store, bodybuilding.com.
We are back with the creator of the Fighter Diet, Pauline Nordeen. That's how it's pronounced for We Americans out there. It's not like it reads in English. It's Pauline Nordeen. All right, I want to make sure I get that right. So, Pauline, you were talking about women, people out there who are into fitness and starving themselves. I know a lot about the Fighter Diet. Kind of goes against that to help people get results and avoid that type of mistake. Tell me more about that. Would you say that's the foundation of the Fighter Diet?
Yes, the foundation of Fighter Diet is prevent overeating by overeating. So it means that if you're eating so you're not satisfying your appetite, sooner or later your whole system, your brain, will get you to eat more than you're supposed to, and you would just overeat of all foods that you're not supposed to eat if you want to lose fat or be lean and build muscle at the same time. So that's like the principle number one. Like, you cannot rely on self-discipline and control. And that's coming from me, who has very good control. I mean, I have the discipline of people always tell me, oh, like, you're like a super woman because you are so disciplined. Uh-huh. Well, that's because I have strategies. I mean, if I don't eat at all, I'm going to sooner or later be so hungry that I'm going to eat all the food that I'm not supposed to. So that's one principle. Also, eat the most food when you're the most hungry, which for most people, including me, is at night when you're sitting in front of the TV, you know, little bored maybe, or every show on TV tastes a lot better, no matter how bad it is, if you have some snacks. So I have just made it like, why should you eat when you're not hungry? I mean, so if you know that the two most hungry times are, for instance, after your workout, which is a really good opportunity to eat the most food, and then late at night, why don't you eat that way? Because you're not going to get more fat eating all later at night versus in the morning. And that comes into this old myth that, oh, don't eat anything after 6 p.m. because then you're going to be fat. Okay, so what happens if you have to work out at 11 p.m.? Are you not supposed to eat? So I'm trying to take away those myths. And another thing is that to stay satisfied, you have to eat a lot of fibrous food and a lot of volume, like a lot of vegetables. It takes a long time for you to eat. So your brain gets the message, okay, she has a lot of food coming in here. There's no starvation going on. We can keep the metabolism going. But people are so scared of actually seeing their belly get a little distended just after a meal. Uh-huh. So they are like, oh, no, it has to be flat. So they want to have a flat stomach, but they can't control the little mouth. So what they do is they eat small, crappy food that has like thousands of calories in one serving, and they wonder why they're not losing weight. So it's like, it's okay to fill up, because if you fill up, then you're not going to eat the wrong stuff. Try to eat 3 pounds of cabbage with mustard pink salmon like I do, and then try to go out to 7-Eleven and buy chocolate. You're gonna be on the couch just recovering from that meal.
Like I said, you have a very huge passionate fan base. You have both women who probably can really identify with a lot of the things that you've talked about. And I want to get more into your personal story that they can relate to. But there's also, like you said, the military. I see a lot of men interacting on your Facebook page. And I'm just curious, do you have a particular customer, client, target in mind? Is it wide in general? Or do you speak to one certain group? Or do you find that your message resonates with one certain group? I'm curious how you see that from your end.
I actually have a very unique following. The typical customer or the, who buys my programs is usually a female between 25 and 40 years old.
Uh-huh.
That's like a big one. But I have the followers, the supporters that might not even know that I have products, but know everything about my pictures, my videos, and my story. They are like 50-50 men and women. And there's a huge presence by the military. And that's a reason, because I've always been a supporter of the military, and also because I ended up on a cover of the Marine Corps Times.
I see.
Because there were some Marines that made a poster with my picture, and
right.
they made me like, this is a, what a Marine should be like or something.
Uh-huh.
So they made a story out of me and wanted to, you know, have me come and train the Marine. And it's just like one of those funny stories because, you know, the sexism and the Marines, there
right.
were like a lot of hassle about that. And you're like, oh, you know, the ones that don't think that females should be strong, but mostly positive feedback. And also I send out posters to all the deployed military pro bono.
Wow, and that's awesome.
To inspire. And I love to get feedback that, you know, they are out there in Afghanistan. They have no inspiration, but then they interact with me on Facebook and it made their day. And it just feels like that's the least thing I can do. If I can help them a little, they are out there putting their lives at risk on a daily basis. And I'm here somewhat safe in America, just relying that they are going to defend my country. And it is my country now because I turned a citizen last year. So I'm actually.
Oh, congratulations.
American. Yes. Thank you very much. This was my biggest accomplishment in my life.
Wow.
It was very important for me to not do it getting married because I hate women who, I shouldn't say hate, but I have a lot of pride and I would never marry myself to a green card just to get here. So that was my number one goal in life, and that was to turn a citizen. So I'm very happy about that.
Well, you know, you kind of mentioned that word hate and then you kind of stopped a little, right? I mean, I think, you know, from my vantage point, part of the reason you're such a passionate rabid appeal of your fans is that you're so willing to speak your mind, whether you hate something or not, right? And talk about that. That's got to be a double-edged sword, but it really draws people close to you when they can definitely relate to you. Tell me about your thinking there, and how has that worked for you? Have you ever reconsidered that? Tell me your whole thought process about that. They earn my respect when they're a leader. And they can take a stand on something, even though it may not be popular.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, to be very open-minded and speak whatever comes up to my heart, and if I'm passionate about something, I'm not going to try to make it more politically correct to please more people. It has, like you said, pros and cons. The pros is that people know that when I speak, it's my words, it's what I feel like, and nobody is censoring what I say.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, if someone asks me for my opinion, they know that Pauline is going to deliver whatever she thinks. So it's almost like when they meet me, they know I don't lie. I'm like, I'm honest, I'm fair. They might not like to hear what I say, but it's still, they have respect because I'm not trying to, you know, just make them happy and sell some products. Like I don't push people to buy products just to make a living. You know, that's not how I roll.
Uh-huh.
But the drawback is that a lot of companies or people who, you know, that would maybe help me get to a bigger audience fast, like, you know, maybe TV and so on, they are, first of all, it's harder for them if they have to be politically correct to have a spokesperson who is like complete crazy lunatic like I am, because you never know what I'm going to come up with. And they are a lot intrigued because, you know, the reach I have, the engagement, I mean, it's
yes.
ridiculous. I mean,
right.
it's just like people just love what I bring, and
yes.
It's some kind of success. But imagine if a company wants to hire this almost like a crazy person to back up their supplements or their company. That's a big risk. And so, for instance, if you're a fitness model and you want to have a career in the business, you should maybe be a little more, you know, smooth and always try to say things that as many people as possible will like, But they also will not remember you in a few years because you didn't say anything. You didn't stand out. You just said, oh, broccoli is healthy for you. Eat that and exercise 3 times a week. You know? Nobody right. gives a damn about that. Sorry for cursing.
No, that's fine.
So I rather want to go to history being the strongest influencer in fitness, like for now, I don't know, for the next 20 years or so, rather than being nice and, you know, like a woman that is just standing there beside a cute, like a big bodybuilder smiling and she's okay being the cute. Oh, sorry. Like, it's like women are not supposed to be saying their opinion in fitness. Have you imagined how many strong women do we have in the fitness industry? It's like one. It's like Jillian Michaels, and then we don't have anyone else. So I feel like it's like a man's world, and the women should have their coaches, and they go after the male coaches, and you know, I'm sick of that. So, I do what I do, and I run my own company.
Right, right.
I have nobody who pays my bill. I do it myself. There's nobody who's my boss. I say, I deliver, and I do what I want to do. And if I can't do that, you say, then my life's over.
Right. Well, you know, the thing, you bring up a lot of great points. I think the best point, the big takeaway is that, you know, you're taking control of your own future. You're not depending on somebody else. You're not expecting somebody's approval. This is who I am. If they don't like it, then you sound like you definitely can understand that position that they're in, and that's why you're just doing it yourself. Yeah. You know, I do think that sometimes, you know, I see a lot of people in fitness, and whether they're represented by a company or not, that's not really the point. I see them really giving opinions about things that I'm wondering, how the hell do they know anything about that? I mean, they have an opinion, but you could tell they spend the majority of their time with fitness, right? Training, eating, and they're commenting on the very complex issues of society that just aren't that simple, right? And so I guess sometimes I think is that what's worth fighting for, what's worth dying for, right? Rather than someone who always has an opinion. I'm wondering, you know, the things you talk about, though, they all somewhat relate to fitness and the personalities involved in fitness. I mean, would you say that's accurate? Or are you just giving opinions about everything in society? I mean, how do you go about that? As you answer that question, this amazing marketing machine, I'm wondering how much is thought out versus how much is just pure heart and soul and whatever comes out.
When it comes to my social media engagement, there's people are connected to me as a person, so they connect my brand to who I am. They are curious about what I think about. For some reason, they translate it into all areas of life. But that's because my message, which is about discipline and patience, commitment, work ethic, all that colors everything in life. So that's why, like, you know, I may be in the fitness industry, but I see myself more as someone who you look for motivation and inspiration, no matter what you do in your career. And there's a lot of people that say that oh, this can be applied to everything in life. But yes, you know, my fitness and my journey is like soul searching. It's philosophy. It's an inner journey. It just the results are displayed on the outside in my body, but it all comes from the mind. So, you know, like I'm all about the mind. I'm like a philosopher who just happened to exercise.
Right, right. Well, here's a philosophical question. Do you believe where you show up in one area of your life, like your discipline to the gym, that you show up in every area of your life?
No.
Okay. We agree on that. You'll hear a lot of fitness people say that.
I'm very lazy in a lot of stuff, you know. Like, for instance, I can get anxiety over that I have to show up at a meeting somewhere, you know, like having to go to a gym class. I don't take any classes or like spinning or whatever, because for some reason I get this compulsive like anxiety that I have to be somewhere and I'm going to think about that for 2 days after. So I'm like, uh-huh. You know, right. I'm not disciplined. It's not like, screw it, just do it. No, I'm just like, oh, this is a big thing, or that I have to actually take out the trash or something. You know, small stuff that I just feel is like overwhelming. So no, absolutely, discipline is very, like in some areas and some areas not. Then if you want to apply it, you can. But I mean, you can't be motivated for everything.
Yeah, I think a lot of fitness people can really get a lot from that message that you talked about, because I think that they're really disciplined and fitness for whatever reasons. Whatever reasons, whatever went on with their life, how they're motivated, it's this perfect storm. They're massively disciplined, and then they can't carry that over into the rest of their life, and they're somewhat puzzled, confused, and even frustrated why they can't.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that too?
Yes. I mean, for instance, I'm against this mindset of now I'm going to get in peak condition for this show. So in 3 months from now, all I'm going to focus is on this show and nothing else. I'm just like, okay, so you're not really living your life. I mean, things, you can't just put stuff on hold. You have to, if you're going to go and do something, you have to be able to juggle everything else. I mean, because fitness, let's be honest, you're not going to make millions of this. It's not like you're a basketball player or a football player who can make millions a year. You're not. You are paying more for trophies, for bikinis, for the clear glass heels, everything like that, than you are ever going to make money off it. Oh, that's a cat.
We see your cat now that she's joined.
Yeah, it's a he. His name is Goosegump. It means a cuddle butt in Swedish.
All right. Well, he's joining the podcast. We get to see him make cameo appearance in your videos all the time.
I know. Right? He's always taking.
We can't leave him out.
My videos enough. Yeah, and he's been a talking. He considers himself the fitness cat authority.
All right.
And he's telling the people what to do, and he's very honest as well. And they say, that sounds like Pauline. I'm just like, no, it's Goosegump. So that's funny.
Yeah.
He actually had his own Facebook a while, but he didn't update, and so I had to do all the jobs, so I couldn't keep up. But anyway, back to the other stuff.
He needs that Pauline Nordine marketing school.
I know. So back to making money and being disciplined. People need to remember what they're doing for fitness. Like, what is, like, it's a stepping stone. Like, you're not building your body just to have a body. What are you going to do it with? You know, like a lot of people who want to be, they want to do what I do. They think they don't see that I'm working 24/7, that I'm my, you know, if I don't, I can't go and not work one day because I don't feel like it, because then who's gonna pay my bills, you know, like that's how it is. And they just see that they want to be training and living in the gym and nothing else. And just like, that's not right. I mean, so build your body to learn something about you, to get discipline, and then do something with it. You know, either you have a product, or you're like a fitness brand, or maybe you're a lawyer or a police or whatever. But it cannot be the end to just build a body and do nothing else. I mean, what kind of discipline is that? I mean, you have one body, it's not going to be with you forever. So if you don't have any other skills, then it's for nothing.
Right, right. What do you think the attraction, you know, in your group, you have a lot of connection, a lot of engagement with your massive following. What do you see as a lot of the attraction into the whole fitness world for them? You're kind of alluding to it. Sometimes it's a lot more than just about losing those extra pounds.
People want to be looked at and admired, and like, you know, if you have this awesome sexy body, then, you know, like everything is going to be wonderful in the world, and that's it. Like, it's actually confirmation that you're attractive, and you know, like, I think that's why people do it, and they get so disappointed because they are competing, and for they think that after they compete and win a show that the dollars is gonna like rain over them, and they're gonna get all these contracts and cover some magazines. And I just tell them, okay, I don't want to be rude here, but the last years, the world has changed. Nobody gives anything about magazines almost. I mean, maybe it's like high-end magazines who have like six issues every
right.
year.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, nobody cares about the fitness magazine covers. And if you do get it, there's no money in it. And they think, even though I tell them that there's no real money in modeling. You can model for your products and actually then make like indirectly money to make a living. But there's so little. It's not like the fashion industry or, you know, like any other big. Fitness is such a subculture, but they get so caught up in it. And they think that if they just win this and, you know, they compete and the judges are gonna tell them that, oh, no, we don't want you to look this way. You know, when I was competing, Skip, I had a great physique, you know, I stood up, but I was too athletic compared to according to the judges.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted me to be more like streamlined. And I never did that because I said, like, I'm not going to do this to have some. And pardon to all the judges out there, okay, take me this with a grain of salt. But all the fat neck judges looking up my ass, and they're going to say, yeah, that one is going to win this time. And then, well, you know, I was not up for that. So uh-huh. I just quit. And people ask me, like, oh, are you not going to compete anymore? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to stay in shape? And they asked me, like, 5 years later, they asked me, like, so are you going to compete? And just like, no, but you look, you're in shape. Just like, oh, so you can't be in shape and look like you're going to compete? Just not do it. It's like, I don't know. It's some kind of confused, distorted perception about what fitness competing is that I just try to, you know.
Right.
It's good
right.
for personal growth and making an experience, but there's no money in it. And people have to make a living. So, you know.
Don't you find, Pauline, that's kind of the second wave once they already are attracted to it, dedicated to it? And then the second wave is, well, what can I do with this? Magazine sponsorships yeah. and things like that. There's something that, you know, you've mentioned probably at least five times during this. And you talked about control of the eating, the lack of control, all or nothing, that type of thing. I want to talk more about that because I find in the fitness industry, the people who are drawn to this, that control over their life, that structure is something that they're missing in their regular life, and that's their first attraction into this.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that too? And tell me about your journey. I mean, you talked about your stepfather, and I know how that can have an effect on a person's childhood. Obviously, your mother and father were divorced.
Yes.
Then at 15 years old, 17 years old, you're off making on your own. You know, how did your childhood create the Pauline Ordine of today? How do you feel that contributed?
My mom was who made me into being this independent. Like when I was very small, like a 4-year-old, she always told me to always be independent and never let fear hold you down. When I was, for instance, I was biking and I fell off the bike and I got a stone crushing my knee, and I felt like I deserved, like, you know, a lot of pity and like, oh, poor Pauline, a lot of presents and kisses and stuff. And she just looked at me and just like, oh, that sucks. We have to take you to the hospital. And she was really like, you know, tough. And she was always doing these gymnastic movements before we're going to bed. And when I was like 3 years old, I was sleeping with mom. And I always told her, like, can you come to bed and just not do those? She says, no, I'm going to do this. She was really like, you know, firm and did what she wanted to do and didn't. She was not weak at all. And I guess that that really made me into being the same way, and always hearing that you can do whatever you want to do. And she was one of those moms that, for instance, I've never been into this having a family and getting married and having all these things that you're supposed to want. And she never told me that, you know, like when you grow old, if you're not pretty, then you're not going to get a husband or something like that, which uh-huh. a lot of young women are told. There was never anything about body or looks. I was never told that you're so cute or you're so pretty or that you have to be pretty or shut up or just be silent. Don't speak your opinion. Never. So then when I was 15, I remember she told me that sometimes I regret that I actually told you to be independent and go your own way. Because now I wish that you were going to stay home for many more years. And both yeah. me and my sister, we both left when we were 15. So
okay, I thought I might have misheard you. That I thought you said you were an only child?
Or? No, I was lonely.
Lonely, okay.
I didn't have any friends.
Well, let me ask you a question. Tell me about your mom's story. I mean, so she was married, divorced, and then she also remarried, right? Was she that – now you talked about you were never into getting married and having a family and things like that. Obviously, she tried a couple times. Was she actually being that independent person, or did she have to be independent with your father and her getting divorced? I mean, I'm curious, did you learn by her example, or did you learn by – you didn't want it to be that way?
No, I think I always think that I have some kind of other mission, like there's different stages in life, or like for let's say your reincarnation, and you have 10 lives, for instance. I always felt like I was I had very few lives left, and not because I'm wise or nothing like that at all, But I felt like I don't want what regular people want, and I have some kind of other mission. I can't really decipher it yet.
Uh-huh.
But I'm on something, and I have to walk this path. And everyone who has dealt me in my whole life has always told me that I'm like very determined, focused, and
yeah,
I always
definitely.
Do what I want.
And so how long ago, what's your first memories of feeling that uniqueness with that special mission?
When I was a kid, when I sat there and looked at California, this Los Angeles smog line,
uh-huh.
that's when I felt like, that I just knew that I was supposed to do something. And I don't know, then when I found bodybuilding, it was just, my first thought was that, that I'm going to go to America and this is my way to get there. So I was training for that. So
right.
it's like everything made sense. Like, why would I go in there and find this fitness magazine? Like, it was all meant to be. And that, my body, you couldn't tell my body that I had some special, nice physique. You know, you didn't know. And I didn't know either. But I had something in me that I know that I can take this chubby little, because after, I wasn't starving myself, I got this regular body. And I can turn this non-lean, regular body into being a world-level physique. And I just knew that. And I remember my boyfriend at that time, I showed him my legs, which were covered with regular women's fat on top. I'd been training for 2 years really hard and I was strong. And I said, and I showed him my legs. And I pulled down my pants and he said, oh, yeah, that's not going to be good. You know, they don't look good. And I felt so bad. I felt like, you don't see that there are muscles under this fat. I just have to get that fat off first, but it's going to take a while, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, from the first day I started training, I was not like anyone else who is frustrated. Like, they want to have this body in 2 weeks' time. If they don't get it, they get frustrated. I was never frustrated. I knew, from the first time, I said, 3 years, I'm going to give it. I'm not going to talk anything. I'm just going to train hard, eat right, and have 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And it was not 1 hour I was frustrated. And to lose weight, it was really hard for me. It took me like 5 months to lose, I was always a normal weight. So it took me 5 months to lose 4 kilos of fat. And I made it really slow, but that's what I learned from you, Skip, because you also had a really long leaning out process, very slow to retain as much muscle as possible. So I worked it to my advantage and I looked up to you, but I've never been good at dieting. That's why I have my fighter diet.
Right.
Just imagining that I have to do something, it will make me feel like I just have to eat a lot more.
Right. Well, again, let's go back to that. So when did you decide that? Because people probably say, wow, she's so passionate. She's doing these videos. She has the fighter diet ebooks. She's connecting with all her fans. She's making all these videos, top-notch videos. She has her fighter diet supplement line, right? So driven, so passionate. They may want some of that. And then they probably, how can I do that with my husband or family? I mean, do you get that type of fan mail or people who strive to have that type of balance? And I'm curious, when did you make the decision? Or I'm not even sure, I guess I should ask that question. Have you made the decision that marriage and children aren't for you?
Well, I actually got married, but speaking of that, so the guy that I was together with, my boyfriend, we applied for citizenship together, the green cards, and I was approved. He helped me with it. I was filed under extraordinary ability. He helped me with all this. He took all the photos, and I mean, he was my boyfriend. I loved him. We were best friends. We wanted, the first thing I asked him actually when we met. He had this wanted poster. He saw me in a gym in Sweden when I was there, and he saw me and he was too intimidated to approach me. So he wrote a wanted poster, which he gave to the gym, and they tracked me down. And he had a picture of himself and was like, "I'm looking for this athletic woman and how I looked." And he just put himself out there. And if I ever wanted to meet with him, here's his phone number. So I was given that. And was like, what kind of crazy person is this? That's just insane. And I was in love with a football player at that time. And And I didn't get any feedback, so I called him up once and I said, like, okay, so are we gonna be together or not? He says, well, I was just like, okay, bye-bye. And I called Pavel. And the first, after I said, like, yeah, okay, this is Pauline, you've been looking for me. He says, oh, hello. And I says, do you want to go to America? That was my first question. He says, yeah, I love America. And that was like my go-to, that, okay, this is it. So we met and after we became best friends at once. And, you know, that's, and we started to work on how to get to America together. That was the step, the background. So when we come over here, I was, we moved over here. He was a photographer. He had a photographer visa. I was the writer. So we worked together and then we shot me with photos and so on. And, of course, then I got approved. And since we were together and, Pavel wasn't approved, so he asked me to marry him and I said, yeah, sure. You know, I remember it was at the beach. He asked me to marry him and, and I was like, how can you interrupt my workout? Can you wait for this? I was young. I was like 24, 25. And at that time, you don't really know what true love or what you're supposed to look for in a marriage. We had a lot of problems. You know, we had our business mind. We had friendship. We loved hanging out and doing everything together. We had no passion at all. We were a complete mess. Like, we had no sexual attraction at all. But, you know, you can just see through fingers and just like, this is going to be okay. Uh-huh. So we got married and he got his permanent green card. We were happy. And but I felt somewhere deep that this is wrong. You know, like it was something I couldn't even put my finger on what was wrong. I just was angry. I was angry with him. I treated him really bad. I was like, I yelled at him. I was like mean, really bad. And one day, I met a guy here and I fell madly in love with him. I thought it was just passion. Like, you know, like I was completely physically attracted to this guy and I had to chase him down. And before I actually ended up with him, I told Pavel, that's the guy, by the way, my business partner, Pavel, my ex-husband and best friend. He just got married, by the way. Yeah. So, I told him that, I'm sorry, but I fell in love with this guy and we have to break up. So that was like after 1 year we've been here together in America, Pauline now leaves because she has to follow her heart. So that's what I did. And it was just miserable because we had no good financial situation. We had to stay together to live in the same apartment for 2 years because we didn't have money. I working as a personal trainer and Pablo making money as a photographer. So imagine having broken up and having to stay together and we're the only family in this country together. So we had to solve it. And that was a blessing in disguise because as of today, we are still best friends. I was just at his wedding in Belize with he married the love of his life. She's an Air Force captain. And I was there as a witness. I was supposed to be a best woman, actually, but I didn't like the dress code, so I actually downgraded myself to regular guest. But so we are like we were supposed to be best friends and business partners and not together. So back to the story. I'm sorry, I'm talking so much.
No, I love it. I love it.
But that was my experience with marriage, and I realized that for me, this is gonna hurt for a lot of people. But marriage for me is a contract. It's a business institution. It was supposed to be like that for instance, raising a family. And if you're raising a family, you want to have security and safety. So of course you're gonna be married. I understand that. And if I wanted a family, yes, I would. I mean, why not married? I mean, do you want to be single or like together with kids, especially as a woman? You don't. But for me, it's love means being with someone and choosing you every day, day in and day out, without a contract. No contract that says that you have to stay or pay money or something if you want to break up. So it's like free will. It's like a wild animal. Someone is keep on coming back to you, choosing you. Uh-huh. That's true love to me. And I don't want to have a contract that has someone obligated to stay with me for years. I don't like that. So that's why I feel like love is no marriage to me. And marriage, most women want to do it to just have a nice party and a beautiful dress.
Right,
and
see, right,
I made
right.
it, you know, because all women are supposed to be married. And if you don't, then you're a failure. Just like, screw that. I don't care.
Well, tell me about, okay, marriage, the traditional marriage, that I understand that part. Love, is that something that you're looking for?
Oh, yeah, of course. What's life without love? It's just, I'm very good at attraction. oh, this cat. You know, if you say that I don't have kids, imagine this. I have so I have to feed him. So we have to actually have a little pause.
Okay.
All right. Silent.
No, that sounds great. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. Pauline is going to take care of feeding and giving her cat some marketing lessons. And we'll be right back.
So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health, when you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis. Go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.
We are back with Pauline Nordine on this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. So, got your cat fed, Pauline. Now, what you were talking about was the institution of marriage, how you're not really into that. I can understand that. And your pursuit of love, is that something that you want to have in your life?
Yes. Love, I mean, everyone, I think if you're not looking for or interested in finding true love, which, you know, that's a whole other discussion, like what is true love. But I'm a sucker for excitement and attraction, and I love feeling that high, you know, when you're like madly in love with someone, you get this energy that you feed off everything in your life. And I have the best workouts when I'm like having a crush on someone.
Right.
But I do like to change up the subject. So it's usually just a chase. And then after that, it's no more fun. And I'm still in that level. And I think it's because I'm not in a hurry. You know, if I wanted kids and I'm 32 years old, then I would have to start looking now. But the older I get, the more I see, I know myself. I know exactly how I react. You know, I'm not in a hurry. Like if I, you know, I'm not looking for a husband, so I can have all these different love interests, or if I want to, and I can have a committed relationship if I find someone, but I would never be in a relationship just to be in a relationship, because I'm a loner, I do my thing, and to actually be with someone, it has to be such a nice person that I can't be without, that it has to be something extraordinary. So I'm not a relationship person per se, I think.
Right.
And when it comes to kids, I never wanted any. Never. I grew up as a middle kid. I had like half and stepsisters and brothers and half sisters and all stuff. And I was always in the middle. I had to babysit my kids. And I'm really good with kids. They always love me and they think that I'm funny. And wherever I go, they always I attract the kind of kids' attention. But let's say, first of all, my genetics are not super nice, so I have to feel like if I'm not contributing to the world with my genetics, then the whole population is gonna just fade away. Like that, you know, like look at me, I have a slow metabolism, have to work my ass off to stay in shape. I'm short, you know, a lot of lot of genetic dysfunctions on me. I have a mitral valve prolapse, which is like a heart dysfunction, you know, all that crap. And I don't want to, I don't really feel like I have to give those over to a baby. Mm. And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't appreciate my body. I have a very strong one. I mean, it can take so much beating. It's insane. Sometimes I'm surprised. But it's just like, kids don't really work into my life because I have to be the one in the second seat in my life. And I'm not willing to give that up. And people usually tell me that I'm so selfish for that. And I'm just, then I ask them, what is selfish? That I actually know that I should not have kids because I'm not willing or interested to actually put them in the center of attention of my life. Or am I selfish? Because, you know, like for... It's just weird how people reason that someone is selfish because saying no to kids. It's not like I'm going to change their lives, but I think it makes them question their choices, and that makes them feel insecure. So they want me to breed too.
Yeah, no, I think that it's more noble to know that this isn't what you want rather than figure out after you bring kids into this world, right?
And also, I have a backup system here. You know, I have everything thought out. I could not bear a child, and then let's say I go to any place where I have starving kids, and even in America, and say that, okay, so yeah, I see you all here at the orphanage. There's like 50 kids here that have no parents, that are brought here, they have no food. But yes, I have to have my own genes and give birth to this baby, so I will say no to you. So if I want kids, I'm going to adopt. I could not look at all these like children in the world and just honestly tell them that, yeah, you're nice, but I have to have my own. I think that's the horrible, selfish thing. If anything, I understand as a human species that we have to, it's wired that way, that we're supposed to take our own cells, you know, and reproduce and make a mini Pauline or mini Skip. But I don't see a reason for that. And I would feel like it's a lot more noble to actually help the people that are already in the world and give back to that instead of adding more people. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I think that people, we all have our stories. We all have our challenges, our upbringing, things that happen to us, both good and bad, that all create our value system, the way we look at the world. And that's all fine, no matter what way we choose to live our lives. The challenge comes in is when people have no empathy. They can't step out of their own situation, their own perspective, to realize that other people have their own. And to label something as selfish just because you wouldn't live that way, or, you know what I mean? When people say, well, you don't want to have children, that means you're selfish. I mean, they have no idea what you've gone through and what formed your views on the world. I'm curious, as you look back on growing up, how do you think that formed these views that you have today about family relationships? Sounds like you like the bad guys, right? Is that, you know, I don't know.
Well, usually because I'm all about, I don't like, I guess I'm very, like, I try to not have any commitment or obligations. Like, I try to be a free spirit and do what I want. And I don't like to have anyone tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I mean, I shouldn't say a lot, but many dates have ended because they ask me if I want to have kids, and I say no, and I will never have any, so let's move on. And, you know, I'm just straight and honest. I'm not going to fool someone to maybe in 5 years I might want to have one. You know, like a lot of people do that. And I'm just like, for me, it was like almost a milestone that, yes, I made it over 30 and I don't have any kids. So people can back off me and say, okay, maybe she's actually serious about this and she doesn't want any. It's just like, what would I do? I think it's like an honest non-interest in having my own kids.
Sure.
It's just like, I don't want to wake up and do diapers. I don't want to put my money into that. I don't want to have a nanny take care of my kids. I don't want to spend money on it. Or my sister, for instance, she has 4 kids.
Uh-huh.
And she loves family. She would never, ever want to do anything else. But that shows how 2 people coming from the same family situation are completely different.
Right.
And I see her all the time having to compromise because she's an opera singer and she can't put her career first. She has the kids and she loves them and she puts them first. I would not be willing to do that. And also being pregnant for 9 months, no thank you.
You know, you mentioned Jillian Michaels. I don't know, is she a role model of yours or you just have similar paths?
Actually, I was the cat. The Biggest Loser team, the president, I was meeting with the NBC president a few years ago when I came here, and the high people, so to speak, about taking over, being one of the trainers there, and everything was running smoothly. They, for some reason, they found me and they wanted to have me to audition. But it just ran out in the sand and nothing happened. And I felt like that was bad because I have proven myself that I draw attention and being on TV would be really good. But, you know, it wasn't. I guess it was like too premature that at that time I was too young. I wouldn't have been able to handle it as well. So
you never know what happens. When you said you're 32, I was, you're just a baby. It seems like I've known you forever. You know, I thought you must be 50 by now, right? You've been around... forever.
Opposite with you, I feel like, damn, that guy never ages.
Well, that's nice of you to say. So, getting back to Jillian Michaels, so do you have no personal connection? Like, is she a role model? The reason why I ask that is she has similar views about children and her body. It's very similar to what you said. I don't know if
isn't she lesbian?
Well, I know that she got, I don't know if this is before she came out or she's always been out, but she made that comment about her body. The same one that you did. She got a lot of flack in the media. I don't know if you were aware of that.
No, actually, I'm completely in the not in the lack of knowledge about that. But she's no one. I admire her for her business and what she's done with her career. That's really good. And that she's a strong female. I don't follow her. I don't watch TV. So okay. I don't watch The Biggest Loser.
You create your own news. You don't need to watch other people's news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
I was wondering if you noticed... that there are a lot, well, it seems to me like a lot, of high-level fitness women who have your same attitudes about family and relationships. Have you noticed that, too?
I'm sorry, but maybe it's because I don't follow
the fitness world.
Many fitness people.
Yeah, yeah. No, you see a lot of high-level, you know, they're IFBB professionals, whether it's figure, physique, that they're, you know, approaching 40 even, and they're single, no children. And I don't really hear a lot of podcasts. I mean, I really appreciate, and I know your fans. I know that everybody listening really appreciates your candor, your honesty, your willing to share your story. I know a lot of people can relate, and I have a feeling that they have similar stories as you. You know, I'll tell you, you
kind of
Well, that's a great thing about these podcasts is there's 7 billion people on the planet, and you have a person as courageous as you, willing to speak your truth. It will resonate from that person who's they're feeling all alone, that they're defective for feeling certain ways, and they're going to hear you, and they're going to say, "Wow, someone who is so respectable, someone I admire, like Pauline, they share my same feelings. I never knew that." And that just makes them feel more comfortable in their space. So I think you sharing your story, being so open about it, is I know it's helping out some of these 7 billion people on the planet. So I could probably I know I could
married just to get married for someone else's sake. You know, it's going to be a big regret.
Yeah.
And also, it costs a lot more to get divorced, even though you agree about everything, than it is to get married.
Right. Well, you know, I know that you've shared some of your dating experiences on your website. Right on Facebook, right? How is that going these days? Have you figured out a way through the challenges to get where you want relationship wise? Have you cracked that nut yet? Figured that out?
I think like I was in a long relationship for 7 years with this guy that I was married to, at a young age. After that, I felt like I have to give about 7 years of not being in a committed relationship.
Okay.
I'm soon there, I think. Let's see. Yeah, soon. 5 years or something like that. Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm so focused on what I do with my business. I have some girlfriends who always ask me, like, you know, how's the dating and who are you seeing? I'm just like, excuse me, but it's like the last of my priorities is about men. I mean, I don't have time to analyze them. I don't have time to... think about all this, you know, I have a business to run. I'm a businesswoman first. And honestly, for women, there's never a shortage. If you ever want to go out, or if you want to have sex, or if you want to do something, you can just call someone up and they come and deliver.
Right.
And you don't even have to pay for it. I mean, but that's the difference between women and men, because men, you know, if you're lucky, if you can get it, but women can always get it, so we are not as desperate.
Right.
And, you know, I guess like... I'm very private. I'm like an oxymoron because I'm very outspoken, but I'm also very private. My personal life is like, you know, like I don't tell the whole world who I'm seeing or who I'm meeting. Like I'm very selective out of respect for the people who are my friends or my close ones, because I've seen so many people start to add them on Facebook or actually calling and finding their number, and because they want to be part of this circle, which for some reason they want to be part of my inner circle.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't want, you know, usually I'm attracted to men or people in general who are not doing what I do, who are very private. They don't have this Facebook life. They're not exhibitionists like I am. They don't put themselves out there. They don't even have pictures of them online, you know, like that.
Right.
And I think I need that for a balance. Otherwise, it's like competing for the centerpiece of the
right,
stage.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I love being in front of the camera. I love to make fun and make people laugh and think like, oh, did she really say that? And they're going to listen again. And just, yes, I did. And so I guess there's a point when, you know, some days I can feel a little lonely, but then I'm like, no. I'd rather have it that way than being in a relationship just to be with someone who I'm not in love. I would just commit if I'm like completely 100% sure about that I'm in love with someone. Otherwise, it's just like, you know, I know this is going to fade out after a few weeks. And I'm also, you know, I'm very straight and honest, but if I'm done or like I'm not really interested, I will just tell it, you know. I won't try to just be a flake or disappear. I was just like, okay, this was nice and you're a wonderful person, but now I don't want to do this anymore. And then right. I'm gone.
Well, let's talk about business. Let's break it down. You are an outstanding businesswoman, especially, you know, again, thinking about when you started and your young age, right? And yeah. I really want to get to your plans. You kind of have been teasing us with these big plans that you have in mind. I want to hear about those. But let's talk about Fight or Diet. The way you branded that was just brilliant. How did that name come up? You really made it stick. Tell us about the whole Fight or Diet comment. It really seems to fit your personality, too.
Yes, and it's good that you mentioned this, because a lot of people that are in the MMA and they're like, oh, how can you tell if this is a fight or diet? Do you fight? You know, like that. I'm just like, excuse me, but there's a deeper level to this. And it takes the mind, the discipline and the patience and determination of a fighter to actually be lean all year round. And that's what fight or diet is about. Fight or diet is not yo-yo up and down, lose 10 pounds and then regain it. It's all about a lifestyle, doing it for the long term, having something that you actually enjoy, but knowing that you need to be focused and determined and, you know, not like taking away these impulses of people just go to the store and buy Ben & Jerry's because they felt bad that day. Like, create mental discipline and then let it, you know, teach you what to do and not be that spontaneous about food and fitness. Just stick to your work ethic, and you know, that's all what Fight or Diet is about. That's why the name Fight or Diet is more about, you know, actually fighting against everything that we are supposed to do, like go and eat and get fat and not exercise and everything, because everything in life worth fighting for, you know, will give you a hard fight.
Well, your presence is so motivational, and I know that a lot of people get a lot of that energy from you, but you're also a coach, a teacher with specific strategies. You have a whole series of ebooks that get into the specifics that go along with this fighter attitude. Talk about your ebooks and where people can get them.
I have about 40 ebooks now that I'm actually going to cut down, because people get so overwhelmed when they come to my site. They don't know what to buy. And that's because over my, let's see, how long have I been training? Since 17. That's 15, yeah, almost 16 years of training now. It adds up a lot of routines and different protocols. So I have to, like, you know, make it easier for people to navigate. But it's all at fighterdiet.com, and it's the most famous titles is the Butt Bible, which turned into a DVD that NBC bought and made a training DVD that outsold Jill and Michael's workout DVD series at that time. So I have all these different ebooks for beginners to advanced, a lot of hardcore stuff. And, you know, like my routines, like my body was not built with Pilates and light reps and, you know, simple exercises, you know, like don't exert yourself. It's like, this is as nitty gritty as it gets, you know, like if a woman can build this kind of muscle, you realize how hard you have to work, you know, that's my ebooks. You're going to get what you what you think you're gonna get. And I have created a lot of flat butts to into curvaceous muscle glutes, and so I'm very proud of that because it's a health insurance for the back. But I also have an app, Live Life Lean, which is like a full body workout that you can do at home with lean foods that are based on the fighter diet principles overall. So it's more like an easier concept that is less intimidating for people that I'm trying to launch for the wider audience. So I'm meeting them like the halfway, because I know you don't have to do everything I do in order to be healthy. And that's what's most important. I don't care if people have a six pack or they have no cellulite or if they're super shredded or whatever, you know. It's not about how big biceps you have. It's about being healthy, number one, because if you're not, you have nothing. So that's another reason why, you know, people always accuse me of taking steroids. They see my pictures where I'm lean, I'm flexing, and also there's no comparison shot with another regular person. So they don't see that I'm not big. And they say, oh, steroids and blah, blah, blah. And I get so angry, and I shouldn't, but it goes to my heart because I see, like, you haven't seen what I've done for so many years, how much sacrifice I've done, how I put this at the top priority. And then you just tell me that, oh, that was like done with some simple shortcut, and then you're taking drugs. You know, it's like such a slap for my dedication. And also, it's an excuse people use to make them feel better about themselves, because they think that their body can accomplish so little when it can do so much more. It just takes a lot more work than most people want to put in. So I take pride in being one of those who will not turn into looking like a man after 15 years, because I don't do those little extra juices, what some people do to get a quick start in competing. So I try to be the female face of fitness who actually doesn't look like a dude. And I think that's really important, because unfortunately there's a lot of stuff in our business that is very questionable. Mm-hmm. And if we want fitness to be more mainstream, we have to have women who actually are like look like women. I know a lot of people say like, oh, you have too much muscle, but look at me. I'm like 121 pounds, I'm 5'2", and if I'm covered up, you can't see. I'm curvaceous, then muscle voluptuous, as I call it. So I make women empowered and stronger, and also for men to realize that you are not less of a man because you have smaller biceps than me, but maybe you should go to your gym and work your ass off.
Yeah. What do you think about the bikini fitness craze? Is that swing? I mean, I guess I could pretty much tell that might be swinging a little bit too far. What do you think?
Well, it's funny because I've been blocked and banned from Facebook for showing my side glute shot, which is I'm famous for that now.
Right, right.
20 times, which is stops me from doing my business, for showing a side of the glute, which is a muscle. But these girls, they can be on stage and showing their vagina from the back and start arching the back, and you see everything you see is like almost like if there's no bikini, you can see the sphincter muscle on the rectum. So that's really a close-up. And I understand these girls want to do it. It's like a striptease, you know, same movements. And, you know, if they like to compete and they like to be sexy on stage, I mean, sure. And the training is still going to be hard. I mean, those girls are really in shape, and it's really good to have a goal. But for me, competing was a stepping stone when I saw what it was leading to, which is like nothing except for a pro card that you can, you know, hello, like that.
Right.
I just ended doing it. And there's a lot of women who think that it's going to open up some kind of, you know, like back to this, that have a lot of money and income and fame by competing. And there won't be. After the Olympia weekend is over, there will be a cover or two, but if you don't have a personality and a message, you will just disappear because there's so many. So whatever you want to do to actually stay focused and compete, to stay in shape, that's good. But don't become one of those, I was one of them, who tried to schedule show after show after show so we couldn't get out of shape. And that way we were like, couldn't overeat and, you know, stay lean. And that's like, I mean, like, you know, when you're breathing with a machine to keep it going and not on your own, it's like, it's waiting for when you're going to be burned out and just like, I can't do this dieting anymore. So it's not a lifestyle.
Well, you've positioned yourself almost as the anti-fitness bimbo. Am I right?
Yes, that's me in a nutshell. Uh-huh. And that's very funny because I think I'm the only one who doesn't flaunt what I have all the time. Like in videos, for instance, I'm usually very covered up. I have nothing to prove. I don't dress up. I don't wear this makeup on in my videos I shoot every day. People see me raw and in flesh, and for some reason that gives people like they respect me more because I'm not trying to hide and make me feel like prettier. I actually done a lot of stuff that no fitness person does. And for instance, I show how I can look fat just by posing a different way, how I can suck in my waist and make it look like I'm some kind of superwoman. Also, how my, like, if you look at the picture, you will, it looks like I'm all, like, if you touch my body, it would be completely hard as a rock, but it's not. So I'm grabbing my skin, I'm showing, like, look here how it is. I show myself on the worst bloated days, like women, we all have, you know, bad days, we look like fat cows. And just to show them a reality check, because nobody did that to me. Nobody gave me the inside information on the whole fitness. I don't want to be the one who sells a scam or sells a perception of reality that is not true. I mean, I can't have that pressure, that on my conscience. So I want to show, get people to realize more that about the, actually the posing and like bodybuilding, it's an illusion, and not have them buy this whole idea. And, you know, mark my words, you still have to diet and build muscle in order to have them pop. You can't just get up muscle from not doing nothing. But I just wanted to show how bad and awful I can look if I really, you know, want to prove a point. And I think people really like that. I get a lot of reach. And,
just one more of your unique marketing genius things that differentiates you from the pack. I mean, from Fighter Diet to Butt Bible. I don't know if you came up with that title or trademark.
That's my trademark, and then I sold it to NBC, and I'm trying to win it back now. That's a hassle, I must say.
Well, it's just amazing, your creativity. I'll tell you, I want to talk about your future plans, but I'll tell you, I can see you having a business full of consulting of people who want to be the next Pauline or Dean, and just teach them marketing and coaching them through that, because so many creative ideas that you've come across to, so they can make their way. I don't know if you ever thought about that. I don't know. Do people?
Yeah, that's my backup. Not backup, but I do it like a little pro bono. When I see someone who has talent, I have a tendency to actually start to coach them, like take them under my wings, just because I think it's fun. Like, I love marketing, and I'm like my own copywriter. How the things are supposed to be. I'm like very visual. Like when I was growing up, I played piano, I was singing in the choir, I painted, I was writing, I wanted to be a writer. So all those different talents are helping me in doing what I do.
Definitely. Tell me about the Fighter Diet nutritional line before we talk about your future plans. I know you're available on the number one online website, bodybuilding.com. Yes. Tell me about your line. Tell me about your outlook on nutritional supplements and a little bit about your product line.
I have four products as of now. One is the whey protein, which is made from non-hormone treated cows that are grass-fed. There's no artificial sweeteners, there's no fillers, there's no soy. Very clean product. And, you know, like, there's no scientific proof that shows that milk done with this kind of non-hormone treated cows is going to be better for you. But they also says, you know, like, do I want that in my body? I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Right.
And also, for me, I mean, I don't drink a lot of I don't use products that have been too much like that, like, you know, this conventional stuff you found at Albertson, which you don't know where it's coming from. I also have the greens product, which is, people ask me all the time, like, oh, Pauline, can I drink your Fighter Diet greens and not eat all the vegetables? I said, no. Big fat, no, you can't. This is a supplement that you add on. It's not going to ever replace all the vegetables. But if you're like me, you might have five vegetables that you eat daily that you like and not 100. So it's like all those different stuff that, you know, you don't really like, but you can get them in the powder and it tastes good. So, you know, people always trying to make the fix pick, like find a quick fix, fix pick. And they will never hear that from me. And they're just like, please, Pauline, can you just approve this? Almost like they're trying to cheat me, like fool me. I'm just like, no. And then I have a Fighter Diet Pump, which is a pre-workout for getting more pump in your muscles. It's a blend that you can combine it with the Fighter Diet Burn, which has it's a fat burner with caffeine and synephrine and yohimbe. And all my thing about my supplements is that everything you see on the label, you know what it is. There's no proprietary blends. There's nothing. It's very clean. And I want to know what I put in my bodies. And whatever you choose, we have to pick our battles. Like, if it's good or not, we don't know. And I don't want to have that as my responsibility, that you don't know because you're buying it and think that I'm just honest or I know. And, you know, people should know and be educated and then take their own decision what they want to use.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I don't know what your opinions about the supplement industry, but, you know, whether it's a big company, small company, anything in between, they're just made up of human beings. Yeah. They get to know who runs the Fighter Diet Company. They get to hear you, see you, and they can make their decisions about what kind of product you produce. Sometimes people make the assumption that these big companies, just because they're big, they're maybe better. That can't be. It could be true. It may not be true. So I really think that, you know, your following, they knowing you with the Fighter Diet. It's interesting, though, with your supplement line. I don't know if you remember a talk that we had. I don't really remember how many years ago that was about where you were going. And I encourage you to take charge of your own destiny. Do you remember that talk? I think we were in Las Vegas at the Mr. Olympia.
Reason why I'm sitting here talking to you, Skip, because you were one of the first influencers and you saw my true colors from the start. Like you said, you saw it from the first time. And so you were actually one of those who discovered Pauline Nordine. So yes, I remember everything you told me and I have executed the plan.
Very, very well. Far more than I ever thought. And so let's talk about where this is going. You hinted at TV. I know you're living down in LA.
Yeah, I lived in Miami for a year here, but I didn't like it, so I went back.
So tell me, what are your big plans? I know you have them. Share them with everybody.
Big plans. Keep on building my empire, like I said, my Friday Night Empire. Reach out a bigger audience with my app. Defat America, make America a healthier place. I would like to be involved in the community, educate young women about training and strong bodies. I want to be a new kind of role model that... people are given so much information about what to do that is completely messed, like the whole grains and juice drinks and so on. Like, that's not even helping you to lose weight. So you're going to do this you think is healthy, but nothing's really happening. So more presence. And of course, I would love to be back on if I could, you know, like The Biggest Loser, maybe not that show, but something that gives me more. It's all about awareness and spreading my word. So for any media that I can reach out to and reach these people who need me, that would be great. But, you know, you never know. And so far, I have 1 million followers on Facebook that are just there because they like me. And I'm just going to keep on continuing. I had a record the other day with 4 million reach on my page. So it's growing. They are there because they like me and they want to hear my opinion. And I try to talk to as many people as possible face to face. Like I usually, sometimes with phone, with my fans, I call them up and I talk to them. And it's really good for me sometimes to just see, actually, you know, like, they never think that someone just gonna take like 30 minutes out of their life and just talk to them. And they're, you know, I don't know who they are, and just like, here's a number and they want to talk to me, and I just pick them and I call. And
that's amazing.
That, then they email me like a month later and that how that changed, and they made them that made their life just a lot better. It just, that's why I do this, to you know, like, almost like keep you on the toes. You never know when Pauline or Dean is gonna call you, so you better keep on working, you know.
That's just amazing that you take the time with your busy schedule to connect with your fans that way. And I know you've got a whole new group of fans coming to you from sharing your story, your past, your present, and your future in such an open manner. I really appreciate that. I know that your fans do too, getting to know you in this manner. And you can go to fighterdiet.com. You can look her up at Facebook page, become one of those million people who are interacting with Pauline all the time. So for this Bodybuilding and Fitness podcast, for Pauline Nordine, I am Skip LaCour. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically.
dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health, when you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis. Go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip at SkipLaCourCoaching.com.